Because who you really are is dictated by literally genetics. It's in a coding. Who you really are, your personality traits, characteristics, obsessions, addictions, emotions are all dictated by a code. And in order to get there, you literally have to do this type of analysis.
This is Entrepreneurs the Playbook.
I'm going to do two things today. One, I am going to talk about career transition. And I deal as a consultant a lot with initially player transition, mostly players who are done playing professionally, but then college to pro transition, and then military transition. I was blessed to go to DC this year. I guess it was last year now, to talk about career transition, which is very, very similar. The thing about transitioning, and I think it's most elevated in sports, is that an athlete suffers two deaths. And this is why transitioning is so difficult. An athlete, and I think military as well, because a lot of the military guys, your literally entire life is to be trained to do one thing. Whether you're a professional athlete or in the military, you're completely trained. Doctors, the exact same thing. A doctor is, my oldest brother, when I went to college and I was pre-med before he told me how to be in hospitals, and I'm like, I can't do that. He said, do me a favor, get educated in college. Don't be well-trained like me. He was just well-trained. He hurried through college in 3 years, went right to med school, extremely well-trained, but not educated. When we're trained, what does that mean? That we are doing consistent, persistent behavior in the pursuit of our potential at that thing. I'm a running back, I'm a quarterback, I'm a wide receiver, a linebacker, I'm a guard at Arlington, I'm an Air Force One squadron member. Whatever it may be, I'm trained as an engineer. And you do it every single day. When someone tells you that you're going to have to stop doing that, it's a very difficult thing. And it's not just difficult consciously, because every single day, 7 days a week, for years and years and years, we've been thinking, doing, and believing in the conscious realm that activity. You guys all following me? Some of you that are younger may have felt that when you went to college. Some of you absolutely feel it right now when you graduate college. Right? You've been in school from kindergarten to preschool every day, with less breaks than people that play professional football or military are trained. But yet, there was almost like a death feeling when maybe you graduated college, like in a great amount of fear. The reason that we feel that is we have a bad habit attaching who we are to what we do. It's an ego-based habit that we identify, and in fact, if you ask people, about themselves, a lot of times the first thing they'll say is, I'm a lawyer. I work for so-and-so. I'm an engineer. I'm this. Is that really what you are? It sounds like a type of career. It's not who you are, right? You have developed a tremendous amount of skills, knowledge, and desire. In fact, the most satisfied, purposeful, passionate people are people that I know that you can't really describe your career to people. Right? Oh, well, I wanted to be a doctor, went to law school, sold shit on the internet, and then was on the middleware business, I raised money. Like, I can go through what people would describe who I am. In fact, my mom still has a difficult time saying, when people say, oh, tell me about your sons, I got a rabbi, right? It's all the way down, doctor, lawyer, rabbi, but what about your other son? Author, speaker, right, blah, blah. Because I don't identify what I do with who I am. And in order to help people transition, and if you feel as if you're transitioning from something that you've done consistently for a long time and persistently for a long time in the pursuit of that potential, and it's either going to end or it has ended, the first step is to re-identify yourself as that's not who you are. You're not a professional football player. You're someone that's extremely fast and strong and disciplined and good with time and routine. You're someone who likes this and dislikes this. Do you see a difference? Therefore, when you transition, it's not an end. Because if you identify yourself with, I am a father, and then you get divorced, right? Or I'm a husband and you get divorced, it's a death. We need to identify. So what are those things that we're identifying? I'm starting back at the beginning for everyone here, but to me, the secret of identifying and how to transition easiest stems back to the same advice I give to everyone about simply radical humility. Radical humility is misunderstood, and there's five components to radical humility. And you're gonna find them, those who work with me, very familiar. When we disassociate ourselves with what we do and who we are, when we're making that disassociation in a transition, guess what the first thing that you need to know is? Your values. You need to explore your personal values, your experiential values, your giving values, and receiving values, and that is where your self-identity lies, not in what you're doing. Right? I've completely disassociated myself with activities because there's, to me, two simple things in my life: activity I get paid for, activity I don't get paid for. And I want them both aligned with my values, and I want to make a decision under three different realms. One, the realm of the monetary world that we live in. I want to identify along my personal experiential giving and receiving values, utilizing the object of energy that puts into the flow to buy stuff at the monetary level of pragmatic world, how much money is going to be utilized if I do this? And I'm going to make my decision strictly off of that level at first, knowing that if I have a green card of money or a gold card or a platinum card or a black card, I'm going to be able to get more and more and more. Then I'm going to take it to the other side, which is faith, and I'm going to aggregate what I think, say, do, and believe, and my personality traits, characteristics, obsessions, and addictions, and say to myself, what if there is no time? Right? If there's no time, would I be a AA announcer in Amarillo, Texas for the San Diego Padres? If I was confident that I'm just a spiritual being having a human experience, multiple, maybe millions of lifetimes ahead of me, would I go ahead and live this lifetime to be a AA announcer for the San Diego Padres? Or would I move on from the military? Or would I move on from what perspective does that faith give you now? And the simple way to go from a money decision to a faith decision, we all know, is to extract time from the decision-making process. The third way to make a decision is to blend the two. Money and faith, and still, all of them rely on your four values: personal, experiential, giving, and receiving. Nobody else's. You're not going to vote for what your mom's values are. You're not going to vote for what your wife's values are. You're not going to vote for what the governor's values are. You're going to vote for what your values are. That's what's going to allow you to transition and be successful in what you do, because it's innate to your frequency that you've been given in your DNA, your unconscious. That's the only way we can tap into who we really are, because who you really are is dictated by literally genetics. It's in a coding. Who you really are, your personality traits, characteristics, obsessions, addictions, emotions are all dictated by a code. And in order to get there, you literally have to do this type of analysis. And then the third, as you look through that, whether you make your decision strictly on money, whether you make your decision strictly on faith, or a blend thereof, be conscious of it, and that's good enough. I will tell you this as a little insight. I know that when I make a decision based on faith, meaning I extract time from the decision-making process, it always turns out better for me. I'm just not always patient enough to wait for it. And I will tell you that it doesn't ever, when I make a decision on faith, it never happens as fast as I want it to. Usually doesn't happen as fast as I expect it to, and it never happens faster than I want it to or expect it to. When I make a blend decision is a pretty good decision usually, and it's somewhere in the middle. It never hits what I expect time-wise, takes a little bit longer, and yet, it's still not as fast as I want it. The only time that I make a decision that is right on time is at, ironically, the same vibration that time is at. A man-made construct. Money is a man-made construct, so is time. In fact, when I tell people, you know, we all have the same amount of time, most people immediately think what? What do you think when I say we all have the same amount of time?
We all have the same opportunity.
What about you?
Seconds of the day.
Right. That's what most people think. That's a good answer. I like that. Right, we all have how many you don't care if it's in seconds. How many hours in a day do we have? You're smarter than me. I don't know how many seconds. How many?
24.
Does anybody have any more than 24 hours in a day? Does anyone have any less than 24 hours in a day? Therefore,
if you're in space.
Right. So which is exactly where I'm going, right? So but most of the time when you say people think at the money level, right, at the same frequency that exists, is 24 hours exists in the same place that money is an object and energy that you put into the flow. Therefore, if I utilize my productivity and accessibility within the context of 24 hours, I can make more money. And that's how I became a millionaire. Right? I always tell people the power of 64. I work twice as many hours, twice as efficiently, twice as statistically successful. Most people work 8 hours. I work 16. Times 2 was 32. Times 2 was 64. Every single day I work 64 hours of productivity. Just math. But that was all at a money frequency, which is why the money came when I expected. Right? What do you mean it came when I expected? Well, I worked 7 days. Well, I didn't consider it work, right? Activity I got paid for a lot, but I work 7 days a week. So if you took the 9 months that it took me to make my first $1 million, most people work the same amount of hours in 10 years. So it really was $100,000 a year. I was nothing spectacular other than understanding the frequency of money and time. Now, take it up to the higher frequency, the highest frequency of faith, extracting time. What does that mean? Time is infinity. So when I tell people that we all have the same amount of time, not only am I encouraging you to use the power of 64 within the context of the pragmatic world of money to be more efficient, effective, and statistically successful, but I'm also suggesting that we all live in a realm of infinity. Because in the realm of faith, time is infinity. We have tons of time. In fact, if you can move, I believe this is scientifically correct. We got a few people that know physics. If I can move faster than the speed of light, I actually can reverse time, which makes it infinity. And if I can move at the speed of light, time stands still, right? We can time travel. There's an infinity of time. So you have a spectrum of decisions that you can make in your transition to give you confidence. Number one, you got to extract who you are by your values, not by what you're doing, right? Not your title. And then two, somewhere within the spectrum, you have to use your values to make a decision based on either 24 hours or infinity. Either way, it doesn't matter. Just know the math of if you make your decisions in the time of the infinity, the decisions will be better in the context of infinity, not in the context of 24 hours. If you make it on money, your decisions monetarily will be better in the context of 24 hours. And you can blend in between to make your decision. It doesn't matter how you make them or if you make them, because you're going to give meaning to everything that you see and the results that you have. The main thing is to understand you are not a title. You are not a sergeant. You are not an announcer. You are not... If you believe that, and that's where you're going to think, say, do, and believe, and that's where your faith is, you're going to have two deaths. You might have more. Every time you switch and transition, it's going to be a huge catastrophe for you. And in order to bridge that, the first thing you need to do is know your values. Because now your identity starts becoming, I'm honest. I'm hardworking. I believe in love. I believe... Right, my experiences, I want to travel. This is who I am. I like to go to sporting events. I like to spend time with my family. These are experiential values. You know, I want to build a community center in Africa. There's some of my giving values. I want to educate the world. I want to impact the world. I want to save the world. Those are giving values. receiving values. I want to make more than $1 billion. So I can give that away to make more community centers in Africa or a solar pond or whatever you want to build. It's really simple. It creates so much less interference or corrosion between you and the connection, the inspiration that you have. Does anyone know my four values that I came up with, that I live by, that helped me transition from all types of careers and allow me to be purposeful, passionate, and profitable in every single career that I've had?
Gratitude, empathy, accountability, and effective communication.
Right. Right. And effective communication turned into inspiration when I realized that when I first came up with it, I hadn't gone through my full transformation, so I thought effective communication was only being able to motivate other people and inspire them. But what I started to realize that effectively communicating first was to understand that I'm always connected to the most powerful source of energy, light, and knowledge that exists, and that I'm creating the interference to it, that I have more kilowatts in my thumb to light up this entire city, and I'm not utilizing it correctly to do that. I'm not sending a strong enough signal, a clear enough message, a huge spectrum of my own light that I carry because I'm always connected to that. Once again, those are my values that I came up with when allows me to make decisions quickly in accordance to the spectrum of man-made construct of time to infinity or some blend there within. Second thing, allowing for transitions. Be more interested than interesting. You gotta have mentorship. You gotta ask questions. Now, the two series of questions that I believe in, most of you know the two series of questions, right? Does anyone want to raise their hand if they know it? Austin, an intern, go ahead.
Find out how you could be of service to that person and then ask them for help on the back end. Do you know of anybody to help me with XYZ or to connect me with?
Exactly, my friend. If you want to transition efficiently, effectively with statistical success, you need to be more interested than interesting, not limiting your point of entry. Asking for mentorship of people that sit in situations that you think or you know you want to be in. And how do we do that? With two series of questions. One, how can I provide value? Or notice I didn't say just ask, how can I be of service? Ask a series of questions to find out what people do today, what they like about it, what they don't like about it. Then use closed-ended questions to lead them to what you're curious about. And then ask them another series of questions determinative upon how they can help you and provide value to you. Most people, when they're going through transitions, just don't do that. They actually close down. I know Simon works with the NFLPA and Jeff Blake and all in this exact area, and he'll tell you the same thing that I've seen for years being an executive coach. They close down because they create more interference and corrosion to the inspiration that made them a terrific football, baseball, basketball player, and they close down and they're too afraid to tell people, I need help. They're too embarrassed to tell them what they need. Because their whole identity is I'm the quarterback for the Cincinnati Bengals. That means somehow that I should know every single thing that's going to be in front of me, including my economics, my relationships, my time management, all the things that have been utilized since the time I was 5 till the time I'm, 35 and retiring from doing the exact same thing. I didn't know what to do with myself when I went to law school because the first time in my life in September or October or August, I didn't have 2 or 3 practices a day. Right? My body, my mind, my soul was so conditioned. And I, that's just at 22. I could imagine how my boy right there, Warren Moonfeld, at 44. Every single day of my life was conditioned to be the best football player I could be with the DNA I've been given. The potential that I had. Not that Warren had, the potential I had. And that transition was really difficult. It was depressing. Right? Flag football wasn't the same. Intramural law school team just wasn't the same. Same feeling, that inherent thing in my being. That transition was difficult. Combined with transitioning from being in college with the same friends for 4 years. Right? All the different things that you do. So number one, values. Number two, being more interested than interesting. Three, transition. I just touched upon it, routines. right? It's time management. So student of your calendar, you need to have two routines in order to make it and develop a great transition. The first routine is, okay, every day I'm at home with nothing different, no visitors, no travel, but I'm just at home with my family or whatever. Do the exact same thing. Create a system for yourself to wake up at the same time, meditate, work out, eat, whatever it is. And you can allow yourself not to take huge differences. You can almost mirror your routine and slowly change it while you're at home from what you were doing before. Right? Slowly changing it. And then two, you need an adaptable routine, which means that when things aren't the same, that it's value-based. Everybody knows mine, for example. It's when I travel, which is 200 days a year, it's a minimum of an hour a day on my health. Right? That's the first thing I'm looking at when I'm traveling now is, okay, where am I going to spend that hour tomorrow minimum on my health? Next, 30 minutes with my wife, 30 minutes with my 9-year-old, 2 minutes with my teenage daughters, all three of them, and 1 minute with my mom. Once I get down to there, I then study my calendar to figure out in person, on the phone, via email, and media, radio, print, and TV, and social media, how I'm going to be most productive, accessible, and gracious during the day. I look at the white space in my calendar. How productive, accessible, and gracious am I going to be in the white space of my calendar? Then I look at my sleep. I, because I'm not an expert, use a sleep coach who I call and say, this is the time my flight's leaving, this is the city, here's where I'm going, what time should I eat, what time should I sleep, what temperature, when should I lift up the light, all these different things. So that I can be what? Productive, accessible, and gracious in my sleep. Thus, I'm doing it and becoming 1% better every single day. And once again, my focus isn't on, I'm not playing football anymore, I'm not a broadcaster anymore, I'm not an engineer anymore, I'm not, right? It's this, that's not me. I'm just productive, accessible, and gracious. And I'm learning more skills, more knowledge, and increasing my desire. Anyone reads Napoleon Hill, Think and Grow Rich, if they ask me all the time, what's that book about? You know what it's really about? It's not about what you think, you know, what I believe you can achieve. You know what it's about? It's about desire. It's about if you pay attention to something with desire, with intent, activity, belief, and desire, you have to have a burning desire, you will create the coincidences you want. That book, you could think all day long that you want, and you can believe it all day long, but if you do not have a fervent desire of activity behind it, what I call intention is far more than like going to work 9 to 5. It is a burning desire, which is how great athletes are made. And then they feel lost in the transition. It's the same way the people that protect us and provide us our freedom in the military are made. A fervent desire and an understanding. When Justin and I went on the Leadership at Sea program, it was the first time I ever felt good about paying taxes. Because every person on that Navy ship, every person on the helicopter, every admiral that we got to meet that was teaching us, it wasn't that they knew things that I didn't know, right? They were great. Look, I'm a great disciplinarian. I'm a great, you know, time management guy. You know, they had good advice. There's nothing earth-shattering. You know what's earth-shattering to me? Is that Think and Grow Rich took on a whole new level when I'm like, oh my God, I thought I was fired up. I'm not sure I could do. It's like meeting with Joe DeSena of Spartan Races when he's like, I've done 50 ultra marathons. And you're like, I thought I was a badass, you know? Like I'm traveling around and I'm like with my boys going, you know, I woke up at 1:30 and I worked, you know, 36 hours and I'm not even tired. And, you know, I have way more energy. You guys are in your 20s. You can't even hang with me. And then there's that guy or there's those people, you know, this young girl that's sitting on a ship to get into med school because her only dream and desire is to be a doctor to help people. And it's like, you're down here 9 months? And away from your family, and you're eating this stuff, and you're putting your life in jeopardy for my life, so I can drive these cars and talk. Like, that's what it's about. And you don't do it unless you understand what your productivity, accessibility, and your gratitude is. That those three lenses. I call it the Meltzer kaleidoscope. That's how I look at everything. It's always like, how productive, How much value am I going to provide to this situation? How accessible am I? Accessible to you, as well as accessing what I want, which was the nuance that I learned later on in life. Get what I want so I can give more away. And then just the ultimate lens, which I'm always working on, to be grateful. Grateful for everything. I get to do everything. I'm finding the light in everything, finding the most positive parts of him, of her, of him. All of that, that's what you need. The fourth thing, in order to transition, is you have to understand the perspective of being present. If you're gonna live in the past, you'll never transition. Never transition. There'll only be regrets. That's all you're gonna have. And if you live only in the future, which some people do, in that transition, you're only gonna have anxiety. I'll tell you why. If you only look to the past, we're human, you're just gonna see a ton of mistakes. If you only look to the future, you can't tell the future, it's gonna create anxiety. No matter who you are, whenever we start looking into the future, it creates anxiety because it's the unknowing that creates anxiety, and nobody knows the future. Nobody. So living present. If you're gonna transition, you have to stay in the present. How do you stay in the present? Everybody here knows this as well. Right, Mike? We do it now. We actually take action now. We don't live and stumble on the roadblocks behind us or cheer for the successes of the past. And we definitely don't look out into the future. I'll be happy when. I'll be happy when. That's how I lived a lot of my life. Man, when I graduate college, I'll be so happy. When I have my first million, I'll be so. It never came. The happiness never came. And I got to exactly where I wanted, sometimes even farther than I thought I would, and the happiness never came. Until I started to enjoy the consistent, persistent pursuit of my potential. And one of the key components was to be present and ask myself, with the activity that was going on and activity I didn't know was gonna happen, can I do it now? And if I could do something now, I did it. It saved me half as much time minimum and was exponentially, statistically so much more successful because I did it. And if I couldn't do it, I put it into a list or what I call a repository in order to put and prioritize by importance what I'm gonna do when I'm scheduling the time as a student on my calendar and under the lens of productivity, accessibility, and gratitude. If it was just urgent, I delegate it. All of this allowed me to transition and allows others to transition into a purposeful, passionate, and profitable existence without worrying about the void shortages and obstacles that occur when we transition from something that we have done again and again and again. Then the last thing in transition. The last thing in transition is the difference in understanding the truth from the illusions. The truth from the illusions are dictated by the ego. The ego, it has needs. Unfortunately, the needs of the egos are easily fed. I wish human beings could be fed as fast and as easily with just the need of it as the ego is. If the ego needs to be offended, you'll have no problem finding offense. If the need of the ego is to be inferior, it'll have no problem finding that either. If the ego needs to be inferior, it'll have no problem of finding that. If it needs to be separate, anxious, fearful, angry, frustrated, all these different feelings, emotions, ego has no problem finding it. That ego puts it right out there. It's immediately available. It is an abundant wealth of food for the ego. Where you have to understand is to start practicing ending the ego. The ego edges goodness out of your life. It's the thing that creates the corrosion or interference between the most powerful source of energy and light that you're always connected to. Forever, in my opinion. Forever, for infinity, I'm always connected to that. Why would I get in my own way, in especially a time when I'm transitioning, whether I'm a military person, an athlete, a professional, a college student, an entrepreneur, plenty of transition. Why would I live in separateness, fear, anxiety, anger, and frustration, depression? too many people. My mission in life is to get rid of that, right? If I could invent an egoectomy, I can. But what I can do is teach people these certain principles in order to effectuate happiness. What is happiness? It's understanding when I'm an ego and finding a higher frequency closer to the truth. The truth vibrates the fastest. That's why I meditate. It's mathematical to me. I meditate every morning as part of my minimum of an hour towards my health to find my highest frequency, to get as close to the truth that I can, to understand that the higher I vibrate, I can only be aware of that which vibrates equal to or less than me. Therefore, if I vibrate faster, I can be aware of even more. Making my choices on the spectrum is easier to make it closest to faith because my awareness is higher. I can elevate my own frequency simply by practicing ending fear. Notice I said practice because it's a constant practice because we're here to learn lessons. The lessons will keep on coming and result if we haven't learned them in an ego-based pain, physical, mental, emotional, spiritual pain. It's guaranteed. If you have some sort of pain, it's because you are in an ego-based consciousness and you haven't learned the lesson yet to get back to the truth. It's an illusion. You're giving meaning to everything you see. That's why I have a get-to-do attitude, not a got-to-do attitude. If I don't feel like I get to do something, I wait now until I can figure out how I feel like I get to do it, not I got to do it. It's all my perspective. I'm giving meaning to everything because I'm practicing, because I know one thing about life's journey and the lessons that we're supposed to learn is I'm going to forget everyone I've ever learned every single day. It amazes me how many of these videos and how many times I speak and write books and podcasts and masterminds and all the things I get to do. I'm amazed that I go through my day and I'm still sometimes not grateful or not forgiving or not accountable. Blame, shame, and justification. Or even that it would be possible that sometimes during each day, I'm not happy. After all the stuff I teach, you would think these lessons alone would be ingrained so much into my DNA that there would be nothing that would bother me. I would never be anxious, fearful, separate, inferior, superior, offended, resentful. Never. No, every single day I am. What I'm practicing is getting back to center and getting happy, a higher frequency every day. And if I don't meditate and know where that frequency is, I have no baseline to know I'm off of that trajectory. And the other scary thing about fear or the ego is that when you're in that racetrack, it's the fastest racetrack. It's the fastest one. So, you know, this is a slower track over here, the truth, meaning you're driving in the truth, you can see everything is nice and slow. When you get angry, frustrated, resentful, fearful, right, all these things, we start moving really fast. And that's when people make really bad decisions, not based off of faith. Really bad decision. You wonder why your whole life is off track. Because you're running in the wrong direction. You're living in ego. You're practicing ending fear. That's what you need to do. So if you're going to transition, you need to know the five things. You need to know your personal experiential giving and receiving values. You need to be able to be more interested than interesting, knowing the two series of questions. You need to understand time and be with a lens, the Meltzer kaleidoscope, productivity, accessibility, as well as gratitude. You need to be present. Ask yourself, can I do it now? And if so, do it. If not, make a list, prioritize by what's most important. And then finally, practice ending fear. Live in truth consciousness. Try to live as little as you can in the ego-based consciousness, the easily fed ego. And if you do those things, your whole life is a transition, meaning you will enjoy the consistent, persistent pursuit of your potential every day. You will never identify who you are with what you do. Does that sound fair? Hope you enjoyed this episode of the Playbook, but more importantly, I want you to join my text community. I'm doing a lot of fun things there, one-on-one conversations, trainings, giveaways, and it's the first place I release all the information that I'm giving. So join me at my text platform, 949-298-2905. That's 949-298-2905. Join my exclusive community.